Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Radhakon Shamakon Giri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Navadweep Dham Ki Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Shri Premdata Nityananda Prabhu Ki Shri Prem Purushottam Sachinandana Gaura Hari Ki Bolo Giriraj Maharaj Ki Goprem Anandi Hari Hari Bo Samabeda Bhakta Bindaki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Narayanam namaskrityam naram shaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayat vede ramayane shaiva purane bharate tata adyavande cha madhye cha hari sarvatra giyate mukam karori vachalam bhangum langayate girim Yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam Utama adama kichuna bachila jachi adile kakola Kahe premananda emana goranda hridoya dhariya bola Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gaurangera Namare. Bhaja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gaurangera Namare. Jejana Gauranga, Bhaje Se Hoya Mara Pranare. Jejana Gauranga, Bhaje Se Hoya Mara Pranare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yasyaiva padam bhuja bhakti labhya. Premabhidana paramapumata Tasmai jagannamangala mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya namo namaste Chaitanya Chandraya namo namaste Chaitanya Chandraya namo namaste Madgavir api gopala Sri kuryat kripaya jari Sadaiva sambhaya pitva risheyustat priyajanaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabala bapahima Vanchakopadarubhischa Kripa sindhubhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare First of all, I'd like to request everyone again, please come forward. Come like right up to here. Mm-hmm. Especially Patish, he's going to start sleeping in the back. I want to watch him. Dangerous man. Please come forward. I promise, I took a bath last week. It's okay. Thank you, Shimpoza. You okay? So, I'd like to thank all of you very much for coming here tonight. And especially I want to thank Chaitanya Prabhu and his good wife Sudevi Mataji, if we ever get to see her, for kindly bringing us here. You're all busy people and you're coming to hear some Krishna Katha tonight. I'm not a qualified speaker. I hope that all of you bless me and overlook all of my faults and allow us to try to do something. We'd like to try to say something over the next few days, what we call the Trail of Tears. It's a takeoff on words. In America, in the United States, in the 1800s, there was a terrible injustice done by the American government, and they made thousands of Indians walk a very long, Native American Indians, walk a very long way with no food and no water, and they called it the Trail of Tears. Many people died on the way. So this is another kind of Trail of Tears. This is a Trail of Tears which begins in Vrindavan, and it goes to Mathura, and from Mathura to Dwarka, from Dwarka to Kurukshetra, and from Kurukshetra to Jagannath Puri. And from Jagannath Puri, it's come all over the world. And we'd like to explore this trail. We'd like to see what relevance it has for us and try to understand some of the secrets of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture in Los Angeles in the 1st of May, 1973, he said, in the Shastra it is said, Vrindavana parityagya parikam nagacchati. Krishna does not go even one step from Vrindavan. He's so much attached to Vrindavan. So how is it that we see that Krishna left Vrindavan and went so far away to Mathura and did not return for many years? No. Krishna actually did not leave Vrindavan. However, since Krishna left Vrindavan, all the inhabitants were simply thinking of Krishna and crying. That was their business. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Radharani, and all the gopis, all the cows, all the calves, and all the cowherd boys, their only business was to think of Krishna and cry in separation. Krishna can be felt, Krishna can be present more acutely in separation. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, to love Krishna in separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has written, Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. Everything is vacant without Govinda, without Krishna. That is the highest perfection. When we see that everything is nothing and only Krishna consciousness is there, that is the highest. That is the gopis. Therefore, the gopis are so exalted, they could not forget Krishna for a single moment. When Krishna was going to the forest with his cows and calves, the gopis at home were disturbed in their minds. Oh, Krishna is walking barefooted. There are so many stones and nails, they'll prick Krishna's lotus feet, which is so soft that we think our breasts hard when Krishna puts his lotus feet on them. They are absorbed in these thoughts and crying. They are so anxious to see Krishna return home that in the evening they're standing on the roof watching. Now Krishna is coming back with his cows and friends. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna cannot be absent from a devotee when he is absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So, over the next few days, we'd like to have a happening take place. In America, in the 1960s and 70s, during the hippie era, they used to have what they called happenings. And they would invite people to come from all over, and they would dress in very strange ways, and they would do all kinds of strange things. And they called it a happening. It wasn't a real happening because it's not happening anymore. A real happening means Krishna Katha. A real happening means Krishna Nam. A real happening takes place in the association of devotees. Lord Kapiladev describes in the third canto of the Bhagavatam about the importance and the principle of a Vaishnava Sangha. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarna visayana kata tasjosnat asha pavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. He describes anukrama. Anukrama means a sequence of events which begins by satam prasangam, by associating with devotees and hearing Krishna katha, bhavadiya vartam, topics about Krishna, which are rasayana katha, which are the medicine that we need for this bhava rog, this material disease that we have in our heart. And if one hears these properly, then shraddha, ratir, bhaktir, anukramishyati. One goes from having faith to having a taste, to having bhakti. In his Saartha Darshani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reveals many secrets in this verse. Very nice explanation he gives. He says, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati also means going from Vaidhi Bhakti to Bhav Bhakti to Prem Bhakti. These things happen when we hear properly. What is satam prasangam? Satam prasangam means hearing from a satjana, hearing from a pure devotee. Jiva Goswami describes this in his Bhakti Sandarbha when he speaks about the science of shravan or hearing. He says that we want to hear from someone who's a niragvakta, a speaker who has no material desires. He says there's a niragvakta and a saragvakta. The saragvakta, his words don't have so much potency. We want to hear from a niragvakta. So now, at this point, some of you may be asking a very uncomfortable question for me today. Okay, then what are you doing sitting up there and speaking? Because everyone knows, who knows me, understands that I'm full of all terrible material desires. So what are you doing sitting there and speaking? Fortunately, the phrase satam prasangam has two meanings. One meaning is to hear from a pure devotee. The other meaning is to hear pure Krishna katha. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in 10th canto, it's said about Krishna, Bahu Murtika Murtikam. Krishna's one, he's Advaita Tattva, but he becomes many, as in the Ras Lila. And in his Saartha Varshini commentary, Vishwanath says, Chinmayi Namnanati Pyaikyam Abhipraitam. Just as Krishna is one, Krishna's name is also one. Krishna Katha is also one. It's Advaita Tattva. Just like Gopal Kumar in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he heard the Gopal mantra one time. His Guru Maharaj didn't even give him an explanation of the meaning of the mantra. But from that one mantra came many mantras. Bahu Murtika Murtikam. Krishna's one, but he becomes many. From one holy name that we hear from our Gurudev, from even one Krishna Katha that we hear from the lotus mouth of a Satjana, if we repeat that, Vishwanath says, then we're continuing to hear. My Guru Maharaj, he called this the kirtan of the disciple. He said that the function of the guru is to come and speak Krishna Katha. He speaks Sabda Brahma. And after he speaks, then he tells the disciple, now you go and you speak. And the disciple may say, but Guru Maharaj, what's the point? And the disciple says, no, you go and you just repeat what you've heard. And that kirtan of the disciple is another name for shravan. My Guru Maharaj spoke this. The kirtan of the disciple is another name for shravan, for hearing. Because when we repeat what we've heard from our Gurudev, from the previous acharyas, from Shastra, it doesn't belong to us. And although it seems like we're speaking, in actuality we're hearing. So this gives me some hope, this understanding of the verse. Satam prasangam. And Vishwanath raises an interesting question in his commentary in this verse. What is the necessity of the prefix pra before the word sangha? Just fasten your safety belt for a few minutes. This will be a little technical, and we'll get over it. Don't worry. Why not just say Satam Sangam, Sadhu Sangam? What is the necessity of saying Satam Prasangam? First of all, what is Satam Sangam? Satam Sangam means be honest. It means you should take care of your family. It means you should be vegetarian. That's very important. Is everybody here vegetarian? That's very important. Okay, I won't speak to you about vegetarianism then. Okay, and you don't eat eggs, Prabhuji?
No.
Very good. Thank you. It means you should be honest. You should chant your rounds. You should go to the temple. You should give donations to the temple. That's very important. You should be a good person. That's Satam Sangam. But Satam Prasangam means something more. What is Prasangam? Prasangam means directly hearing Krishna Katha. It's not enough in our movement simply to speak about Anartana Britti. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1933 in the bank of Radhakund, he gave a lecture. And while he was there, he said, for so many days, we spoke about Anartana Britti, giving up material desires. He said, but this is not our goal. And if this is the only thing that we speak about, we might become Mayavadis. Because the Mayavadis, some of them, they're very good with material desires. Sometimes they do better than our devotees with four principles and like that, very honestly. He said, our goal is not Anartana Britti. If your goal is Anartana Britti, he said, you may become a Mayavadi. Our goal, he said, is Artha Prabritti. We want to hear Krishna Katha. Janma karma chame dibhyam evam yo vitisattvataha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that you should hear about my janma and my karma, my activities. And this is not just for elevated devotees. Don't be nonsense and say like that. Don't be a nonsense and think like that. Srila Prabhupada, when he first came to America, one of the first books that he produced and wanted devotees to distribute millions of copies of, he said every home should have a copy of Krishna book, which includes descriptions of the Ras Lila and the Gopis and all of Krishna's pastimes. And Prabhupada understood people couldn't understand. I remember the first time I came in contact with the Krishna Conscious Movement. It was about 1972 in Colorado Springs, Colorado. I was a young boy. And there was an old abandoned house that we liked to go and play in, boys like to do. And on the walls of this house, there were many pictures from some book, pictures like I'd never seen before. They were pictures from Krishna book. And I remember just standing for a long time looking at those pictures. And I could understand, this must be something about God. But who is this blue boy? All these cows. What's going on? This is a very interesting thing. So even if people can't understand, still some purification comes. So we want to hear topics about Krishna. Parasparanu katanam pavanam bhagavadyasaha. Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam that we should learn how to associate with devotees. If we associate with devotees properly, then rasayana katha, we get this rasayana and all the bad things from our heart go away. But if all that we do for association with devotees is come together and have prasadam, nice prasadam, or we just talk about projects and collecting money and building things and selling this and doing that, that's nice. We should understand the difference between mukya bhakti and gona bhakti. We were speaking about this a few days ago at Prabhuji's home. Mukya bhakti means panchanga bhakti. What's panchanga bhakti? Prabhuji?
Five limbs of so the five.
What are those five limbs? Can someone raise your hand with one? Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Shravan. Maturabhas. Nam Kirtan.
Association of the devotees.
Sadhu Sangha. There's one more. Srimurti Seva. To serve the deity.
So these things are mukhya bhakti. And if you do them knowingly, agyata, or if you do them knowingly, gyata, you get a benefit. Now there's other things which are called gona bhakti, which is secondary bhakti. And they're bhakti, they're considered bhakti because they have some connection with bhakti. Srila Prabhupada told devotees that you should raise money and you should build temples. But just the act of raising money and making buildings in and of itself doesn't purify people. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of pure people in all the big cities in the world. But because it was done for Srila Prabhupada, that's called Sangha Siddha Bhakti. And it may be Siddha. You may get perfection by that. Although it's not Sarup Siddha Bhakti. It's not Mukhya Bhakti. It's not primary bhakti. These primary acts of primary bhakti, they act by themselves, even if you don't know what they mean or what you're doing. You chant the name of Krishna, even if you don't know what it is, you get benefit. But if you just collect money or make buildings, you don't get benefit by that alone. That's required. You have to have some purpose for it. So we should come together and we should hear. This is the purpose of our society. Srila Prabhupada writes this in Krishna book. He says, the purpose of this Krishna conscious movement is to create facility for devotees to come together to hear about Krishna. That's the purpose of our society. So we'd like to try to do some of that over the next few days. Srila Prabhupada, he speaks in many different places in his writings, in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila chapter 4, text 197, he says, worship and separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Again, in Krishna book, chapter 35, Prabhupada writes, to acquire this strong feeling of separation is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and his direct disciplic succession of Goswamis. When we are not in physical contact with Krishna, we can associate with him like the gopis through feelings of separation. So this is a very important aspect of our movement. Srila Bhavadeva Dibhushan has described this very nicely. There's a book called Utkalika Valari. There's two books. Let's go back a little bit more. There's a book called Vilapkusa Manjali and another book called Utkalika Valari. Vilapkusa Manjali is the last book written by Raghunath Das Goswami. And Utkalika Valari is considered to be the last book written by Rupa Goswami. We have a saying in America, I don't know if you have here, called the Swan Song. You have that saying? You familiar with that? The Swan Song means that the swan sings very nicely, but at the end of its life, just before it dies, it gives its most beautiful song. So Raghunath Das Goswami, at the end of his life, he's given us Vilapkusa Manjali. And Rupa Goswami has given us Utkalika Valari. And in effect, they've opened up their hearts. And they've shown us what is inside of their heart. In Utkalika Valari, text 1, Rupa Goswami describes, Prapadya Vrindavana Madhyamekaha Krosana Sat Utkalika Lukatma Udgatayami Jalata Katoram Vaspasya Mudram Hridimutritasya. He says, this fallen soul has taken shelter at Vrindavan and cries pitifully. I will now open my severely burning heart and show the marks my burning tears have made there. Srila Baladeva Dibhushan has written a commentary on this book, and he writes in this first verse, Alabda bishtaya, abhisto kantaya vigalita chittasya ta lebe, sagyogyatva spurtya viduta dhainyasya bhaktasya sankrando shru nirjaraha patatiti, iyam avasta kalu bhaktajanasya purushartha dhatri. He says that the devotee's heart melts when he can't get the darshan of his beloved Lord. And humbly realizing his own lack of qualification, the devotee begins to cry pitifully, making torrents of tears fall on the ground. And he says, Kalu bhaktajanasya purusharta datri. This condition of love and separation is the highest goal of the devotee's life. This is our highest goal. We should understand something about the situation of the Brijbasis' feelings of separation from Krishna and Krishna's feelings of separation from the Brijbasis. It's described by Rupa Goswami in his Ujjalilamani. Purvaragas tatamana prema vaichitya matyapi prabhasas chiti katita vipalambas chaturbidaha. There's four types of separation. He gives a science about it. These are known as purvarag, love before meeting. They've heard about each other. It says Rukmini, she fell in love with Krishna, but she'd never met him. She'd only heard about him. Similarly, Radharani and Krishna, they fall in love with each other before meeting each other. Purvaragas tatha mana. Mana means sulkiness. And as every husband can tell you, there's two types of sulkiness a lady has. There's hoitaki, sulkiness, anger, loving anger with a reason, and ahoitaki, sulkiness, anger for no reason. Ladies have that right. God's given them that. Sometimes Krishna, he's supposed to meet with Srimati Radharani in a kunj, and he doesn't show up. He was on his way to meet with Radharani when he met Chandravali. And Chandravali, looks, she's the cousin of Radharani, according to Rupa Goswami. And when Krishna sees Chandravali, he becomes completely bewildered, thinking of Radharani. And then Padma and Saibhya, Chandravali's assistants, they grab Krishna and they pull him into the kunj. And then Krishna, realizing what had happened early the next morning, he goes running to see Radharani. Oh, Radhe, I'm very sorry. There were some demons and this and that happened. I'm very sorry I'm coming late. Radharani looks at him. And she said, what's that lipstick on your face? And where did that cudgel come from? And that haldi powder, which ladies put on their bodies. How is that haldi powder smeared all over your body? What have you been? You don't even have the decency to take bath before you come to see me. And he had the marks of some other... Get out. Prabeshni shade. Entrance forbidden. This is known as man. And Krishna becomes very happy, actually. He gets some pleasure when Radharani behaves like that. So then there's prema vaichitya. Prema vaichitya is a very unusual thing. When the lover and the beloved are together, but they're feeling separation. Many of you may know the story near Barsana of Prem Sarovar and how one day Radharani was sitting on Krishna's lap and Madhu Mangal was there with the divine couple. Madhu Mangal is a Priyanarma Sakha, very intimate associate of Krishna and Radharani. And suddenly a bumblebee came. The bumblebee saw the lotus-like eyes of Radharani. Yes. When Radharani saw the bee coming, she became afraid. She started waving her hand to make the bee go away. When the bee saw the lotus hands of Radharani, he became even more excited and started buzzing further. And then Radharani became really frightened and she started saying, go away, go away. When the bumblebee smelled the lotus fragrance coming from the mouth of Radharani, he became completely intoxicated and really started trying to get something. At that time, Madhu Mangal very bravely picked up a stick and he drove the bumblebee away. And then very triumphantly, Madhu Mangal announced, now Madhusudan is gone. Madhusudan is a name for the bumblebee, but Madhusudan is also a name for Krishna. And when Madhu Mangal said that, Radharani, who remembers sitting on Krishna's lap, she started crying. Oh, Madhusudan is gone, my pranavala, but Krishna is gone? She's sitting on Krishna's lap. When Krishna saw the condition of Radharani, he started crying, feeling separation. They're together. This is called prema vaichitya. And their tears formed a pond, a pool, which is still there today, called Prem Sarovar. So this is known as prema vaichitya. A very astonishing condition. The fourth type of separation is called prabhas. And prabhas, there's two types, dura prabhas and sudura prabhas. Dura prabhas is when Krishna goes to herd the cows. And he goes to Bandirvan and the gopis can't see him for so many hours. Sudura prabhas is when Krishna goes to Mathura or Dwarka. Just as there are four different types of separation, there are also four types of union. You may be wondering how this is relevant for you. It has some relevance, and we'll explore that. I'm just touching on these things. Any one of these things would require days and days, months to explain fully. You should just have the general idea. Just as there's four types of separation, there's four types of union. Now, these four types of union are based on the four types of separation. There's sankshipa, sambhog. Sambhog means union. Sankshipa means small or condensed. And this is a brief meeting happening after Purvarag, after Radha and Krishna have heard about each other. And there are eight different types of each one of these. We won't go into that. So then after man, after sulkiness, comes sankirna sambhog. Sankirna means something which is very narrow or contracted. When Radha and Krishna meet together after Radharani is very angry, or sometimes Krishna becomes very angry also. That's another subject matter. And anyway, somehow the divine couple are again united. This is known as sankirna sambhog, which is very narrow or controlled. Similarly, after dura prabhas, after a short separation, there's sampana sambhog, an accomplished meeting. And there's the last and most intense type of union is called samridhiman sambhog. Samridhiman means fully enriched. And samridhiman sambhog takes place after sudura prabhas, after Krishna has gone to Mathura and Dwarka, and the divine couple meet together again. There's a nice book that we've been working on for a few years, translating some parts of, called Vaidagya Vilas, written by an associate of Mahaprabhu called Manohar Das. He was a devotee, he was chanting 3 lakhs a day, and he was living at Govindakund. And he's given a nice description in his book. I'll sing this, and you can chant Hare Krishna in response.
Mila amila garamrite nadibahe Lila rasamoya tani sada santarahe Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Mila amila garamrite nadibahe
There is a river of nectar in Braj. And that river, Lila Rasa Moya Tanu Sura Santara Hey, it's full of rasa. And all the swimmers in that river, they're all eternally happy. We should learn to swim in that river.
Samboga Rasera Dare Suke Sandarai Vipralamba Dukera Dare Kabubahi Jai Hare Krishna.
In that dhara, that river, Sambhoga Rasera, there's two currents. The current of Sambhog and the current of the unhappiness of separation.
Rasamrite dhara jate tate dupenahe Antare bhavika suke sada magnarahe Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
He says, Rasamrita dhara jati tati dukkha nahi. Actually, in that river of nectar, there's no unhappiness. Antare bhavika suki sada magna rahi. There's always joy and happiness amongst both of these currents in the river.
Dui dhara bhira rasanari pushta noi Rasika shikara taha jana ashadoi Hare Krishna.
Vina Rasanari Pushtanoi. Without these two currents in this river, the stream of rasa won't be nourished. Rasika Shekhar Taha Jatna Ashradoy. And Rasika Shekhar Krishna, he very carefully tastes both of these streams. So over the next few days, we'd like to examine one of the streams of that river. My Guru Maharaj spoke in a similar way. He compiled this book, Embankment of Separation. And therein he spoke about how this river is a Premadhara, or river of love. And he said that river has two embankments, the Sambhogtata and Vipalambatata, the embankment of union and the embankment of separation. And both are required to nourish the love. These subject matters are a high topic, but we should hear about them. As we were saying a few days ago, Guyam Akyati Prichati. We should hear some confidential thing with devotees. Since all of you are already vegetarian, that's probably not a very confidential subject matter for me to tell you. Let me ask you another question. Have any of you here ever heard before that you're not your body? Raise your hand if you've heard that. If nobody's heard that, then we'll speak about that. So you've also heard about that. So maybe it's not necessary to speak to you about reincarnation or about vegetarianism. There's nothing wrong with those subject matters. If you meet someone on the street who is interested in vegetarianism, this may be a very confidential thing to speak to him about. Or reincarnation. You may actually come very close together. But we have to speak, when we want to speak something confidential, it depends upon our association. And if all that we speak are these two things, then I'm afraid sometimes devotees may go away. My Guru Maharaj was very concerned about that. He told me personally we should work to help uphold the prestige of Prabhupada's society. And he said the best way to do that is to have nice Krishna Katha and nice Vaishnava dealings. So this evening, just for another half an hour or so, we'd like to go with you to Vrindavan. I would like to request all of you, please forget about all your anxieties and your worries. Forget about your wife, how she's nagging you. How your husband's always very angry. How you don't have enough money. Forget about your tests or how you have to work tomorrow. How your health problems or what are your children doing. Or this or that. Please forget about all those things. And for the next half an hour or so, let's go to Vrindavan together. We'd like to begin by speaking something from the 28th chapter of the 10th canto. And as an introduction to this, I'd like to offer a prayer, which is given by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Sri Sankshepa Vaishnava Toshini, or also known as Laghu Vaishnava Toshini, his commentary on the 10th canto. In the first verse of the 28th chapter of the 10th canto, he offers a very nice prayer to Akrura. Akruraya namastasmai hina kaṃsopi sevitaha kutopi vyajato jastum sevitun ca nijeshvaram. I offer my obeisances to Akrura, who served Kaṃsa on some pretext in order to see and serve his Lord. Kutopi vyajato drastum. He made some pretext, Kaṃsa pi sevita, of serving Kaṃsa, but actually his real desire, sevituncha nijeshwaram. He wanted to render service, he wanted to drastum, he wanted to see and render service to nija ishwaram, his Ishadev, his Lord Krishna. He begins with this because we don't want to criticize Akrura. Akrura is actually a very great devotee. And he's been given a very great service by Krishna. A service which was not always appreciated by everyone. In the Harivamsa Purana, there's some description given about how Narad Muni came to see Kaṃsa after the killing of Aristasura. And he told Kamsa all about Krishna Leela, all the different pastimes of Krishna. And he said, Kamsa, you made a big mistake. You thought that Devaki gave birth to a daughter, but actually her eighth child was a boy. And it's that boy who's been in Vrindavan, who's killed all these demons, and he's going to kill you. When he heard that, Kamsa became furious. And he called for Vasudeva and Devaki, and he started screaming at them. And he ordered that they be put in chains, even his own sister, Devaki. And then Kamsa began to speak very sweet words. Kamsa was very expert. He's expert in Dharma Shastras. His father was Drumila, who was a Rakshasa. His father was not Ugrasena. You may think his father was Ugrasena, but the Padma Purana and the Harivamsa Purana and Jiva Goswami and Lagu Vaishnava Toshini, they all describe that actually it was a demon who took the form of Ugrasena and raped Padmavati, the mother of Kamsa. How that happened, that's another long story. Sometimes we tell some Kamsa katha, which we're not going to go into today. But just to mention that briefly. And that Drumila was very, very expert in Dharma Shastra. He knew Manu Samhita very, very expertly, and Vishnu Smriti, and all these different Dharma Shastras. And he trained his son in the womb. Kamsa learned these things. And therefore he was a good king in one sense. But he was a worse king because he was a demon and an enemy of Krishna. But he knew the art of flattery, the art of sweet-talking. And he called for the son of Salvika, Akura. And he said, Akura, I want you to do something for me because you're the most expert of all the members of the Yadu dynasty. And I know that I can trust you. And very soon I have a plan. All my enemies are going to be killed. And after all my enemies are killed, then life will be very good. And I'll be able to rule the entire world. And at that time, definitely, I'll give you your own kingdom also. So you should go. What I want you to do, we're going to have a wrestling match. He called for Chanura Mushtika. Chanura Mushtika were the top advisors, the prime ministers to Kamsa. He didn't have very high class ministers. He liked these very rough kind of people. And he told them that you should make a Dana Yajna, and we'll worship our Ishtadev of Mathura, Lord Shiva, who protects us. And you invite people from all over. And we'll invite those two boys, the sons of Vasudev, Krishna and Balaram. And we'll kill them. In case it's a little difficult for you to kill them, before they come, I'll make sure they're exhausted. I'll send my elephant, Kuvalayapida, to fight with them, to kill them. And if somehow they survive that, they'll be very tired after that. And it won't be a difficult thing for you at all to easily kill these two young boys. So he told Akura, I want you to go to Braj and you invite Nanda Maharaj and all the Brijbasis. The reason Jiva Goswami says that he told him to invite all the Brijbasis was that he really just wanted Krishna and Balaram to come. But Kamsa thought that if I only invite those two, then everybody will know my purpose is to kill them. So you also invite Nanda Maharaj and all the Brijbasis and tell them that I want them to pay their tax of yogurt and ghee, and they should bring this. And he told them, he said, you should take, I have a brand new chariot that I've never used before. You should take that and bring Krishna and Balaram on it. Akura thought, this is very good. I want to see Krishna and Balaram. He had another desire, another motivation to see Krishna and Balaram, which we'll speak about in a minute or two. And Akura thought to himself that this would be very good if I go there in a new chariot, because we can't bring an old chariot for Krishna and Balaram. They should have a new chariot. We should offer the best because Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami, he describes that Akura had a purpose in taking Krishna and Balaram away. Akura was very religious, and he saw Krishna and Balaram as a supreme personality of Godhead. And he wanted some dharma samsthapanartaya. He wanted to establish dharma in Mathura. Paritanaya sadhanam vinashaya jaduskritam. He wanted to save the devotees and see the demons killed, in particular Kamsa. He had that desire. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Krishna Samhita, he says that these different places represent different moods of worship. Krishna, Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, is Purna, complete, in Dwarka. But he's Purnatara, he's more complete, in Mathura. And he's Purnatama, most complete, in Braj. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that in Braj, Braj represents pure love. We want to make our hearts into Vrindavan. The purpose of this movement is we want to establish Vrindavan villages all over in the hearts of all the devotees. When that love of Vrindavan becomes mixed with Gyan and Aishvarya, represented by Akura, then Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he goes to Mathura, a place which is represented by some mixed worship. There's some Vanashram Dharma there also, some understanding of God's greatness. And then Bhaktivinoda says that when Jarasandha comes, Jarasandha attacks Mathura 17 times. These 17 attacks, he says, has a symbolic meaning. The first 10 attacks represents the Dasavida Sanskaras, beginning with Garbhadan Sanskara, Pumsavana Sanskara, making a male child, Jatakarma Sanskara, the birth child, the birth of the child, the Namkarana ceremony, the giving of the name of the child, the Karnabeda ceremony, when they give some earrings to the child, going up to Upanayanam, and finally Vivaha Yagya, the marriage, and all the way until the Antyesti, or funeral ceremony. There's 10 different sanskaras. So there's 10 of the times that Jarasandha attacked, and there's 4 other times which represent the 4 ashrams. Brahmacharis, or the grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis. And then there's the... there's 19 times he attacked. Is that right? 18 times. 18 times. Did I say 17? Yes, 18 times. So it's making me confused. And then there's the 4... the 4 ashrams, and there's the 4 varnas. Sudras, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and Brahmins. So the last of these is the sannyas. And he says this karma sannyas, when that karma sannyas comes, the last of the 18 times that he attacks, then Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he goes to Dwarka. Dwarka represents Vanashram Dharma in his pure thing. Because Jarasandha was a very good Vanashramwala. He served the Brahmins very nicely in that. But he had no devotion for Krishna. So Dwarka represents love of Krishna, which is even more weakened by a concept of Vanashram Dharma. So when Akura arrived in Vrindavan, many things happened. We won't discuss all of that. But he arrived in Braj and he went to Nanda Maharaj in Nandagaon. And he spoke to him all night long. And word very quickly spread throughout Vrindavan. One of Kamsa's servants has come. And we've heard his purpose is to take Krishna and Balaram away. And he's talking now with Nanda Maharaj. Akura spent all night long talking to Nanda Maharaj, trying to convince him to allow him to take Krishna and Balaram away. He told Nanda Maharaj that Vasudev, he's your brother. He's your great friend and your well-wisher. And Devaki and Vasudev are suffering very terribly. Now they're under house arrest. And Kamsa comes to visit them every day. And when he comes to them, he starts using very bad language with them. And he demands to know how it was that they managed to transfer their 8th child somewhere else. Who are your helpers in this secret mission? He's shouting at them and asking, who opened the prison gate for you? Who freed you from your chains? And Akura said that Vasudev just sits there and he doesn't say anything. And sometimes some tears come down his cheek. Sometimes Kamsa, Akura told Nanda Maharaj, he raises his sword as though he's going to cut off the heads of Vasudev and Devaki. Kamsa began shouting so terribly that people, even in distant places in Mathura, they begin to tremble in fear when they hear the shouting of Kamsa. Akura told Nanda Maharaj, "Hey Brajaraj, king of Braj, you should know that all the Yadavas in Mathura, they're deathly afraid of Kamsa. Kamsa always shouts abusive words whenever he sees a member of the Yadu dynasty. He thinks they're all plotting to kill him. He thinks that his own father, Ugrasena, has some plot against him. So he put Ugrasena in prison. Those Yadavas who were able to, they ran away from Mathura. And Kamsa threatens every day to send his soldiers after them to find them and kill them. Oh, Nandaraj, all the wise people of Mathura are in hiding. I'm the only servant of Kamsa who stand behind to obey his commands. And for that reason, Kamsa trusts me." But Akura said, "Hey, Nandaraj, there's only one reason why I'm still staying. I want to be there. I want to be there when Kamsa's killed. I want to see that thing." When Nanda Maharaj, who is so very, very soft-hearted, heard the words of Akura, he began to cry and beat his head. It was intolerable for him to think about the condition of Vasudev and Devaki. Then Akura told Nanda Maharaj, "Unless this great sinner Kamsa is killed, Mathura will never become peaceful." And Nanda Maharaj, "There's only one person who can kill Kamsa." There was a prophecy at the time of the wedding of Vasudev and Devaki that the eighth child from her womb would be able to kill Kamsa. That eighth child is your Krishna. Only Krishna has the power to kill him, I'm sure of it. Krishna has taken his birth for this purpose. Just this morning, Kamsa told me, "I plan for a Donar Yajna. I'm going to invite all the different warriors and wrestlers of different countries to come and take part. And Kamsa sent me here to invite you, your sons and relatives to come." Akura hung his head. And he said, "Nanda Raj, please be merciful to me. If you're kind to me, if you're merciful, then my life will be successful. Please come with me to Mathura and bring your two boys, Krishna and Balaram." And he said, "If you bring them, then their parents, Vasudev and Devaki, will get new life by seeing him." This is a very painful thing to tell the Nanda Raj. They're not actually your sons. Actually, and this is another big subject we won't go into, we have this book, Mathura Meets Vrindavan. In the first chapter of this book, it's described that actually Krishna is directly the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Krishna had two things, his Avirbhav and his Janma. He appeared as Avirbhav, Leela, was in the prison of Kamsa. But that wasn't actually Nanda Nandan Swayam Rup Govinda Krishna. That was Vasudev Krishna, his expansion, who appeared with four arms. Probably it was very fortunate for Devaki, because ladies who give birth to a child, you could imagine giving birth to a baby who has a metal helmet on and a club and a Sudarshan Chakra. It would be a little difficult. So he appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, and Vasudev and Devaki began to offer prayers to him. And Gokul, Mother Yashoda, had twins. She had Yogamaya, and she had Swayam Rup Govinda Krishna. When Vasudev came to the maternity room of Nanda Maharaj, by the potency of Yoga Maya, he couldn't see that there were twins. He couldn't see the baby boy. This is described in Harivamsa Purana and is quoted by Rupa Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Baladeva Vidyabhushan, and many of our acharyas. Srila Prabhupada also speaks about this in his purports to the 10th canto. Krishna's actually the son of Nanda Maharaj. And the Bhagavatam gives a hint. Although the Bhagavatam gives us the idea for most people that Krishna is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, it says that Nanda Maharaj performed the Jatakarma Sangskara. What is the Jatakarma Sangskara? That's when the umbilical cord is cut. So unless that umbilical cord was a very long one and went all the way across the Jamuna River to Mathura, it's solid proof that Krishna is Yashoda Nandan, not Devaki Nandan. He's the son of Yashoda. That's another very big subject matter. Sometimes we give some seminar about who is Krishna's mother. There's a number of wonderful stories in that regard. We won't go in that direction now. So Akura told them that if you bring Krishna and Balaram, then his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, they'll get so much happiness and they'll get new life. Nanda Maharaj listened very carefully to every word that Akura said. He took those words in his heart and he contemplated on them all night. But he didn't say yes and he didn't say no. The next morning, Nanda Maharaj requested Akura, please come with me. There's someone else we have to speak to. Because he's Brajaraj, he's the king of Braj. But there's someone who's even more powerful than him in Braj. And I'm not talking about Krishna. I'm talking about Krishna's mother, Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda is the last limit of Vatsalya Priti, of love, maternal love for Krishna. And when Krishna goes home at the end of the day to offer respects to his parents, who does he go to first? He doesn't go to Nanda Maharaj. He goes to Mother Yashoda. The Narada Pancharatra, the Mahabharata, the Narada Purana, and many Vedic literatures have described that the mother is 1,000 times more worshipable than the father. There's no one more worshipable in this world than our mother. And the Narada Pancharatra says the evidence of this is that we address the deities as Radha Madhav. We say Radharani's name first, not Krishna's name, because Narada Pancharatra says Radharani is the supreme mother and Krishna is the supreme father. So Pratish, you should give most respect to your mother, okay? And your father, but especially your mother. So Nanda Maharaj said to Akura, we have to go talk to someone else. And he brought Akura with him to the house. And he told Akura, please, you wait out here in the outer part of the house. I'll be back in a few minutes. And then Nanda Maharaj went inside the inner part of the house to find Yashoda. He went in and he saw Yashoda sitting in the same chair that she sat on every day, in the same place at the same time. But today, something was different. Yashoda was alone. And she was sitting with her head down and she was crying and crying. And her tears had soaked her clothes wet. And Nanda Maharaj saw that Gopal wasn't on her lap this morning. Every day when Nanda Maharaj would come at that time of day, he would find his Gopal Krishna sitting on the lap of Mother Yashoda. But today was different. Krishna wasn't there. And Nanda Maharaj realized Mother Yashoda, she heard the news. And she hid Gopal somewhere where I can't find him. So then Nanda Maharaj began to speak to Yashoda. And he told her all the things that Akura had told him. And Yashoda said, no. And Nanda Maharaj, again, he began to speak about the terrible condition of Vasudeva and Devaki. And Yashoda said, no. And again, Nanda Maharaj appealed to her. And he told her it would be okay. All the objections that Mother Yashoda had, again and again, Nanda Maharaj had a very patient, logical answer for. And finally Mother Yashoda said something that she couldn't even believe was coming out of her own mouth. She said, okay. Yashoda was very simple, and she trusted her husband. So then Mother Yashoda brought Gopal out of his hiding place, and she came outside the house with Nanda Maharaj. When they came outside of the house, they found that all the residents of Vrindavan were standing outside. They'd all heard the news. And they're all standing out there waiting to see what was happening. When they saw Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj coming out of the house, Mother Yashoda had Krishna in her hand. Suddenly, the gopis began to cry. And that sound of their crying broke the stones. It pierced the air. And they couldn't say anything. They just stood there and they stared. The gopis and the residents of Vrindavan felt they had no right to obstruct the desire of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. At that time, the gopis, who all loved Mother Yashoda so very, very much, they began to speak to her in a very harsh way. Sanatana Goswami describes their words in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Re nindaye re disana vihine. Re nindaye re disana vihine. Vatsam nijam vyagra kote samarpya. Satashidara hamidam braveshtum riktam griham tera tena katam tvameka. They address Mother Yashoda, Re Nirdaye, O you who have no mercy, Re Disanadihane, you're a fool. The gopis, who were so respectful to Mother Yashoda and who loved her more than their own lives, they were speaking to her like this, you have no mercy, you're a fool, Yashoda. Vasam nijam vyagram kare samarpya. You're taking your son, your Gopal, and putting him in the hands of a merciless tiger. Kamsa. Saktasidara hamidam praveshtam riktam griham tena kittam tameka. Yashoda, how will you be able to go back inside of your home again, your empty house, without your Gopal? At that time, Mother Yashoda, she replied to the gopis. She said, listen, I know very well that if a wise person takes care of something, there's no chance of it being damaged. My husband, who's the king of Braj, your king, whom you have to follow, is a saintly person. He's a very wise man. Akura is a saintly person. He's a son of Savalka Muni. He's a Siddha Mahatma. I've placed my son in their hands. They will honor my request. And very soon, they'll bring my son back to me. At that time, Mother Yashoda, she took Krishna by the hand. And she put the hand of her son in the hand of Nanda Maharaj. And she said to him that I'm handing over my son to you. He's more dear to me than my own life. Please keep him with you and always protect him. And then Mother Yashoda fell down on the ground unconscious. Nanda Maharaj very quickly picked her up and she regained external consciousness and she looked and she saw Akura on the chariot and Mother Yashoda fainted again. And again Nanda Maharaj picked her up and again it happened. Akura was watching all of this and he thought, I better do something very quick. Krishna is controlled by their love. If I don't take him away very quickly now, maybe he won't be able to, he won't come at all. So he took Krishna and Balaram and he put them on the chariot. And he started to drive the chariot. But just before he made the horses move, Akrura looked back again to make sure that Krishna and Balaram were there. And when he looked back, Akrura saw Krishna was gone. And it was only Balaram. At that time, Akrura took shelter of Balaram, who's Adi Guru, the person who gives us Krishna, who connects us to Krishna. Akrura, with folded hands, he said, Balaram, please help me. Where is Krishna? Balaram wasn't very happy. But he took Akrura with him and he began to follow the footprints of Krishna. And they took them to a secluded kunj on the bank of the Jamuna. And standing outside of that kunj, Akrura could see inside, he could see Krishna with the gopis. Akrura put some straw in his teeth, and he began offering pranams and speaking to the gopis, please be kind, please. Krishna's parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, their lives are in danger. If Krishna doesn't go to Mathura, they may die. Please, don't be responsible for killing Vasudeva and Devaki. They're Krishna's parents. They want to see Krishna so badly. When Akrura spoke in this way, the gopis became very angry. And they shouted at him, Hey, Mahadurta Mishapalapaka, thief, liar. Krishna's not the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Krishna's the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. You're a servant of Kamsa. You're a liar and a thief. For Krishna, we gave up our homes and we made the forest our home. And our homes became forests. Our enemies became our friends. Our friends became our enemies. Poison became like nectar and nectar became like poison. If you take Krishna away, we'll all die. At that time, Krishna began to speak to the gopis. And he told them, Ayasya, Ayasya, I'm going to return. It's just going to be a very short time. I'll just go to Mathura. I have to kill Kamsa. And then I'll come back to you very quickly. Ayasya, Ayasya. Akrura then quickly took Krishna away. And he put him on the chariot. Mother Yashoda began to cry. All the cows and bulls, all the Brijbasis, all the animals of Brij, everyone surrounded the chariot. Everyone began to cry. Even the birds flying overhead, they also began to cry. The leaves and the trees withered and fell. The grass began to dry up. The lotus flowers withered and the rivers started running upstream. And Akrura began taking Krishna away from Vrindavan. There's a wonderful book in Orissa written by one of the greatest Vaishnava poets, Gopal Krishna. Our Fakir Mohan Babu sometimes was speaking from that. Which speaks about what happened at that time. It says that the gopis, they began trying to stop the chariot. And they began speaking to Krishna. And they said, Hey Krishna, we know about you. We've heard about you from Gargamuni. You're Ramachandra. Previously, in Treta Yuga, you came as a son of Maharaj Dasarath. And now we see you're behaving just like Ramachandra. Just as Ramachandra went with Lakshman on the chariot of Mantra and left Ayodhya, you're also leaving Vrindavan with Balaram. Only Ramachandra is better than you. Because Ramachandra took Sita with him. You should at least take Radharani with you. We know about you. We heard about you in Ram Leela and Treta Yuga. Like a hunter with no mercy, you stood behind a tree and with an arrow, you shot the monkey Bali and killed him. In Ram Leela, you killed one Bali. But if you leave us, you're going to kill thousands of Balis. Bali in Sanskrit is a name for the elder brothers who grieve. But Bali also in Sanskrit is a name for a young girl. And they were telling Krishna, if you leave us, you're going to be responsible for killing all the gopis. Because we can't survive without you. And then Akura began to go very quickly in a zigzag way. So that Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd boys, they couldn't catch up with him. And our acharyas describe, and Bhagavatam describes, that Akura went to the place which is now known as Akura Ghat on the bank of the Jamuna, and he took bath there, and he saw a very amazing thing. He saw that Krishna and Balaram, who were sitting on the chariot, they were in the water, and they manifested their forms as Ananta Sesh and Mahavishnu. And he ran back to the chariot, and he saw Krishna and Balaram were there, smiling at him. And he became confused, and he went back again to the river. Some of our acharyas say that it was at that place that Krishna and Balaram stayed in Vrindavan, and that Ananta Sesh and Mahavishnu left. And it was they who left Vrindavan, because as Prabhupada said, we read from his lecture in the beginning of this talk today, Vrindavana Parityaga Padikam Nagachati. Krishna never takes even one step outside of Vrindavan. So it seems that Krishna left Vrindavan. Why he left Vrindavan? What happened when he went to Mathura? We know some of that. Krishna killed Kuvaliapida. He killed the washerman. He gave blessings to the florist named Sudama. He gave blessings to Kubja. He killed Chanura and Mushtika and all the wrestlers. He killed Kamsa. But a big question is there. Why didn't Krishna return to Vrindavan? Another question is there. How is it possible that Nanda Maharaj could return alone? So we'd like to discuss these things in our next talk from Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. And we'll say a little bit then afterwards about the next class, I think about that class will speak something about Krishna's letters that he wrote to Mother Yashoda and the gopis and the boys and their replies that they wrote back to him. And then our session after that will speak something about the situation in Dwarka and what happened there and why Krishna decided to go to Kurukshetra. And then we'll say something about Kurukshetra, and if we have time, we'll continue to say something about Jagannath Puri and the rest of this world where Srila Prabhupada has established Ratha Yatra all over. So we'll stop there. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samabeda Bhakta Binda ki, Goprema Nandi, Vamsha Kalpada Rubhischa, Kripa Sindhu Bheva Cha, Patita Nam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavibhyo Namunaha. It's a little late. If someone needs to go, please don't feel bad. I know you have to work tomorrow and things. I don't want to cause any trouble. I'm very... I feel very honored that so many of you came tonight. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Maybe we'll just do a little bhajana to finish things. This is a raga for this time of day called Triveni Rag. And when we sing this, we can try to imagine the feelings the bridge bosses when the crew was taking Krishna away. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama,
together.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Krishna.
Sharanandan Krishna Nanandan Krishna Ke Shiva Prabhupada Ki Gopremanande
Vamsakopadarubhishcha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah.
Please, could we